Well, I feel like this is a continuation of the Massachusetts story part two, and seeing that I lived in Massachusetts for 45 years, I like to think that I brought a little bit of the Massachusetts style to Indiana. First off, I have no commercial interest to disclose. Oh, I'm sorry. What am I supposed to punch? Oh, just punch here. Okay, sorry. So I'm basically going to tell you how in Indiana we use the MPINC as a catalyst for change. And I want to give you a little bit of previous background of what was going on in Indiana. We happen to be one of the states that's in that deadly rectangle of no breastfeeding. And so Indiana in 2007 looked, they got their breastfeeding leaders together and looked at what needed to happen in the state to kind of make a difference. And what they decided was they needed to hire a state breastfeeding coordinator that could link all of the people together and start communication. And so I moved to Indiana to take on this role and started my job in January of 2008. I'm a health department employee, but they decided to put my job at Indiana Perinatal Network, which I think was brilliant. It's a nonprofit agency that deals with maternal child health issues in the state, kind of like the Indiana version of the March of Dimes. It's a very perfect fit because I'm allowed a lot of leeway to go around the state and just basically listen and talk to people. So I quickly became aware of MPINC and absolutely loved it. I felt it was the best vehicle I had seen in my 20 years working in breastfeeding to actually make change. I started initially just going around visiting hospitals one-on-one, and in about 2 years visited about a quarter of the hospitals. I also offered a 3-hour small group regional trainings that offered 3 CEUs for breastfeeding, and did several of those. Maybe 15 to 20 people would attend. I have a monthly newsletter, and I always have a thread of an MPINC topic in it. So those were the things that I had been previously doing. Basically, that shows you that, in summary, it wasn't the most efficient approach. I was in my car driving all over Indiana. It was pretty labor-intensive. So during this 2 years, though, it set the groundwork for what we were about to do with the summit. What we learned about it was pretty expensive, labor-intensive approach to just go all around the state talking to hospitals one-on-one. And I learned quickly we weren't talking to the right people and that the lactation staff, by and large, weren't the decision makers in the hospital. They routinely asked me to speak to their bosses if I wanted to get something done. And the universal question that I was always asked was, what were the other hospitals doing? And I felt as though there had to be a way to eliminate the third party and have hospitals talking to each other. I formulated some goals that I really wanted to find a way to bring policymakers together to create a top-down initiative. I felt this was a bottom-up initiative to get more bang for our buck. It's expensive to send a breastfeeding coordinator out in the field every day, just, you know, visiting one hospital at a time. To bring the hospitals together so they could talk, listen, and problem solve, to capitalize on the competitive hospital environment, kind of get them motivating each other, to model a collaborative approach, and to really jumpstart this initiative in a very high-profile way. And then that fateful day in August came when I was listening to the CDC bi-monthly conference call on World Breastfeeding Month, and the topic was MPINC. And at the very end of the conference, Roger Edwards talked about the summit that they had had in Massachusetts, and I had one of those Oprah Winfrey aha moments where I thought that this was the exact answer I'd been looking for. I was actually aware that the CDC and their breastfeeding guide to interventions, if people don't have this, it's wonderful, it really outlines what the state should do. Said that the state should have a summit. I just didn't know how you would do it. So I, you know, was so excited, and within a week, conference called with Roger Edwards, and we and spoke to the people from our CDC Department of Nutrition and Physical Activity and Obesity, and they were completely on board, wanted to fund our project. And I feel that where I work, Indiana Perinatal Network, was the perfect point of collaboration. So we had just the front door initiative that I had been and we had been looking for. We quickly realized that we wanted to get some strong partnerships, so we asked the Indiana Hospital Association, the State Department of Health, and other breastfeeding, our community breastfeeding coalitions. In the 2.5 years, or almost 3 years I've been on the job, we've built our community coalitions from 8 to 46 coalitions. They're over 700 members strong, so we had a very strong group of people to work with us there. So the summit was conceptualized. We expanded a little bit. We felt if people were going to drive, you know, Indiana's a bigger state. If people were going to drive 4 hours, we probably needed to have it be from 9 to 4. So we used a 7-hour format. We did what Roger had suggested, present the facts in the morning. We had Deborah D. come and speak and give a similar presentation to what she gave today. And we also had someone from the Joint Commission talk about the new perinatal core measures, one of them including that one of them is about exclusive in-hospital breast milk feeding. And in the afternoon, we had town hall forums. We separated the hospitals out by size. And we distributed toolkits, and I have a few of them here today on a flash drive, which basically gave them working information to take back to their hospital about how to develop a hospital policy, staffing, those kinds of things, so that could actually hit the ground running when they went back to their hospitals. I do want to point out a little bit of the differences. We couldn't exactly duplicate Massachusetts because though our population is almost equal to what Massachusetts is, our state is 4 times larger. We have twice as many hospitals, and a quarter of our hospitals are critical access hospitals that probably do an average of 200 births a year. So they're very small rural hospitals. So we had large metropolitan hospitals that do 4,000 births a year, and then, you know, so we have a very discordant hospital population. So we really needed to look at, you know, what was uniquely different in our state and figure out how to morph this summit into something that would work for us. We sent out invitations. We did exactly the same thing. It was by invitation only. And then once the invitations were sent out, the real work began. And because we had established a lot of relationships with people, we actually sent out mailbots and computer invitations and real invitations and reminders, but the real work, the real thing that got people to the event was calling them personally on the phone, telling them why we were doing the summit, why it was important to their hospital, what kind of change we expected. And we were overwhelmed when we introduced the personal connection, the response that we had. So I think if there's a takeaway message, I really think that this was an important component of what we did in Indiana. Also, too, specific to our planning details, what I had heard as I traveled around the state is what a lot of people who work in breastfeeding hear is like, oh, you breastfeeding people. You know, you breastfeeding people, like, we have our own lane on the highway. You know, we're not collaborative. And so it was important to me as we met with our conference planners that we be seen in the breastfeeding world in Indiana is very collaborative on other perinatal issues. And also I knew we had to have a neutral title to get people to get in the car and drive 4 hours to come to this. So we didn't call it the breastfeeding summit. We weren't being deceptive, but we didn't call it the breastfeeding summit. We wanted to have a multifaceted outreach to get a large number of hospitals to the table. And as I said, we used email and direct contact, and we had dialogue coming from the hospital association, so if I didn't know the people, they did. So we really capitalized on everybody's relationships. One of the things we did do different because of the size of our state was we paid people, we paid for their hotel room if they had to travel over 2 hours to attend the meeting. So what did we learn when we had the summit? We really learned that we had built a lot of relationships that we could capitalize on with this event. We were able to identify a lot of the leadership in the hospital that we didn't even know, we didn't even have current records on. So that was very helpful to Indiana Perinatal Network and our other projects that we were working on. We really started a conversation, a dialogue where there had been none before. And as it turned out, I was walking around for months as we were planning the project saying, when was the last time that OB hospitals all got together in Indiana? Turns out the answer was never. So I was really happy to see that the breastfeeding advocates in Indiana were the people who convened the first face-to-face meeting of all delivering hospitals in Indiana. And we also thought when we started this project that we had 97 delivering hospitals in Indiana, and it turns out that two had stopped delivering babies that year that we didn't even know about. So we actually were able to get a lot of information that we weren't aware of. So I think the evidence for change is clearly in the numbers. 95% of our hospitals attended, 99% of all births in Indiana were represented. That actually was shocking when we first started it. People said you'd be lucky if you get 50% of the hospitals there. I said that's an F, that's unacceptable. I was a former classroom teacher, I was heading for an A. And the five hospitals that could not attend actually were such small critical access hospitals, they did not have the staffing to send anybody. So clearly, you know, this was an amazing. And I think that when you get this type of numbers, you can really enact some change in your hospital. Okay, I think I'm gonna come in under the time, Larry. So when we looked at our results, we had 158 people attending. Some hospitals only sent one representative, we asked for two. We had 108 responses. A scale of 1 to 5, we had got a 4.7 that said that they understood MPINC, 4.9 that thought that it was important to improving their practices, 4.7 that said that attending the summit would improve care, and almost 5 that said that they needed a summit next year. And as you can see, they liked the opportunity to share best practices. They loved that the CDC, like somebody with national recognition, came to our state to actually lay it out. That was important to them. Thank you, Deborah. They loved the toolkit. You know, again and again, quality of presentation, national speaker. They liked that we're going to carry on with LIFSTRS and other things to support them. Overall, they said it was a great, wonderful event and thanked us. And there was a quote that said on one of the evaluations, it was great to have many people come together for united for the same cause. 27% of our 95 delivering hospitals requested on their summary to have individual MPINC assistance. I will continue, we'll continue follow-up surveys every month and information. I'm continuing my hospital visits, which have been pretty intense, and I'm always available for questions, so my phone's ringing a lot, and my monthly newsletter topics continue, and a 2011 summit is in the works. Some of the early results we've heard is within 2 weeks, one lactation consultant called and said she'd worked in the hospital for 10 years. She was called into her manager's office and promoted to director of lactation services. One hospital put a task force together. There's been lots of planning meetings and kind of summary meetings in the hospitals as well. I think that the time spent building relationships is important to running a successful summit in your state and reaching out to people in many ways. A personalized touch is important. I think that having the event is well worth putting in the time to make sure it's well attended. And by all accounts, there seems to be that it was very worthwhile. I would recommend that your states look into it and see how you can morph the idea like I did with Massachusetts' idea into something that would fit your state. It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all endeavor. So that's it.